The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
My brother, mean advice show for the modern era. I can't even get through it. I'm so excited. I'm just so happy. I'm Justin McElroy.
What up, Trav Nation? I'm your middle agest brother, Travis McElroy. Woof woof, big dog. Woof woof.
Wonka, wonka, wonka. Wonka 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 wonka
your sound bath
wonka 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 wonka
wonka wonka wonka.
Are you ready to talk about Wonka?
Deal
with it. It's all I can be.
Last night,
are you ready to talk about Wonka? It's all I've wanted. I feel like I've been playing with a hand tied behind my back. They made a new very cold Ghostbusters, and we haven't even been able to talk about the.
We don't even have time to unpack. Cold Ghostbusters today.
We can't do Ghostbusters chillers. We can't do it.
We got too much Wonka in the tank. We need to expunge it quickly.
Hey, Heisey, if you're listening, if you don't release Ecto Colder, I'm going to be so fucking pissed off.
Oh, my God. That's so great. Travis, that's no Ghostbusters. So great.
Yeah, but we can't talk about that now because we're about to learn how Willy became Wonka.
If you don't have the context here, our heroic negotiators for the SAG-AFTRA strike finally pummeled Hollywood into submission with their iron will.
Fran Drescher came out a
swinging. Fran Drescher single-handedly invoked the nanny state and on all of America, and now we can act again. We can perform. Hey guys, I'm going to be back in front of a camera. I mean, just the idea. Just the idea of it, treading the boards under those key lights, the best boys. I'm going to be in front of a camera again.
Yeah.
Mama, I'm coming home. Hollywood, here he come.
Are they bringing you in for reshoots on Wonka?
Don't even fucking joke about that, Travis. So, I didn't even watch.
I'm Augustus' sexy brother, Daryl.
Daryl Gloop.
My name is Daryl Gloop. I love to eat, too. But I have huge muscles.
Yeah.
Cool.
I only eat protein powder. Raw protein powder.
I didn't even allow myself to watch Wonka T2. Wonka Trailer 2 is what we call the second Wonka trailer in
What's
the Wonka
point?
Community.
What would you do with the thoughts that you have about the trailer?
Right, exactly.
You would just get blue gumballs.
Right. Gross. I was already all full up. I was all full up of Wonka all the way. And now... I watched, this is fresh off Wonka T2 watched just moments ago, and boy howdy, my sides have split wide open, all my guts spilled out on the floor, and I died, and was reborn in Timothy Chalamet's arms.
I don't know if you guys felt this way, but watching Wonka T2, there is a certain actor what steals the show in this one.
Yeah.
And his name is
Timothy Chalamet from Dune. Another film we can say that Dune. Oh, it feels so good to just say Dune again.
I think you mean Dune. The sequel's coming out now.
No, I mean Dune. I fell in love with Tim Chalamet in Dune.
Well, I didn't mean Timmy Chow. I meant Mr. Humongo Grant.
Humongo Grant, Mr. Naughty Hill himself.
He's He's putting on a masterclass in this one.
Did you just shorten Notting Hill to Naughty Hill?
Yeah, listen, maybe. Didn't mean to, but it's been a long time since I've been able to say the names of movies. I'm a little bit out of practice.
God, yeah, listen, as a straight white cis man, I'm not used to people telling me I can't do things.
Yeah,
in these past 100 or so days of not being able to talk about TVs and movies, I wish everyone knew how I had suffered.
Yeah.
Because it has been
personally
absolutely brutal. But we're back. That's the important thing. We could talk about Cold Ghostbusters if you guys want. Because, man, I don't know if you watched it. All the old guys are back and they're letting you know about it in the trailer. And gosh, they are going to be cold. It is going to be such a cold Ghostbusters.
Here's what I'm saying. If they're letting me know while the old guys are back and it's going to be cold, what are they holding back for the movie? I can't wait to see the big surprises. I assume Kate McKinnon's going to show up.
I would love that. If they would bring them into the verse, that would be
sublime. Are you kidding me? I would be over the fucking moon.
Now, I would be delighted if they brought them into the verse.
I do love this bold new vision for reboots and refreshes, where it's no longer just, what if we brought back the old men from the first one? But what if we also made it super duper cold?
Yeah.
Or
we
could do like a Star Wars, new Star Wars. This is wet Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's a new thing we're trying out where it's Star Wars, but we've dampened it significantly.
I would love
more.
That would be amazing.
You used to be able to make movies cold.
Yes.
Star Wars Hoth, great example.
Cool.
James Bond frequently skis.
Yeah.
Love.
You used to make movies cold. I bet they were banging
their heads.
Do you
remember the one where they were in an ice palace? James Bond in an ice palace with an invisible car.
For sure, yeah.
Surfing on ice.
The Golden Compass, need I say more, that's got polar bears. I think that maybe they were banging their heads against the wall and then somebody, gotta be Aykroyd, raises his hand. He's like, what if this one's cold?
What if it's never cold?
Fuck.
They were all yelling and screaming at each other about the future of Ghostbusters, and Aykroyd went, as he does, as he does it, he just sat back and went, guys, chill out. And everyone was like,
everyone's like, fuck.
Here's a hat. Okay.
They're sitting there, they're fighting. What's it gonna be? Maybe Zool's back. Who knows? And Aykroyd pours himself some of his vodka out of a crystal skull into a glass filled with those big cubes of ice. Right?
Yeah.
And he just starts swirling it.
Almost like he's
ringing a bell, swirling it. And you just hear ting, 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 ting. And slowly that ting, ting, it makes its way through the hubbub, the noise, the chaos. Everybody turns and looks, and he's just swirling it.
That's it. No words. Yeah. Just the ice.
No words.
The ice
just the ice in the glass. And then Ernie Hudson gets sad because he knows that his idea of having new ghosts where busting them makes you feel bad is probably not going to be what the movie
makes
is.
Me feel guilt.
Hey, everybody, me, Ernie Hudson here. I love the cold stuff. What about the ghosts who are busting and makes you feel bad?
Important unfinished business, which we totally could have just helped them finish.
We keep circling. Maybe some of them can be cold. I love that. Let's build on that.
That's badass if in like Sixth Sense, like Marissa Cooper is talking to Sora from Kingdom Hearts and is just like, hey man, thanks for helping me get revenge on my mom. She's a real piece of shit. Can you believe that she and then fucking Ernie Hudson's like, don't worry, I got
that
him.
Was brr.
You feel that? It's cold in here. Yeah, it is.
You just see
bad news, this one's got kids. Kid ghost, kid ghosts, kid ghosts.
You just see him bust in it as Swayze's like helping to me more and like sculpt a thing and like we got him.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Vegas.
Yes, what happened to poor little Tim is tragic, but if you've learned the error of your ways, you can make this Christmas a special.
Oh fuck!
That was Christmas Carol.
Hey guys, good news. I'm back to start the end times. The fuck you are, Jesus. Get in here. Hey, Venkman, you shouldn't have busted Jesus. Now Earth is cold because God has turned away from
us.
There
we go.
That's what happens in the movie. Yep. That's a spoiler.
I know. We'll call my friend Lucifer. He's a popular bar owner and detective. He'll come help us. Yeah, that's right. It's a Lucifer crossover.
It kicks ass. If of the 2.5 minutes of Wonka T2, a full minute of it is just Hugh Grant cutting up.
Yeah.
A full fucking minute of
it. Yeah, man.
I've never seen a trailer with a headliner before. They're like, all right, Hugh, you come on, do your type five, and then we'll do the rest of the trailer. The rest of the trailer is going to be wild. It's going to have a scene where Keegan-Michael Key tries to drown Willy Wonka because he makes chocolate too much.
Tries to kill. Hey, if we're going to say it, let's say it like it is. Keegan-Michael Key tries to kill Timothy Chalamet.
Because of the chocolate that he makes or wants to make or dreams of making.
Good?
That's interesting. I'd like to know about why Keegan-Michael Key is trying to kill Willy Wonka, but Hugh's back. Oh, he's got a good 30-second sort of thing about airline travel, like air travel humor. That's yeah. Good stuff,
and
man.
And Timmy's in there making huh noises, and he can't sleep.
Huh? He's the line, Oompa what now? This is the best movie ever made. Can't wait.
Now, there's a moment in the trailer that I need us to discuss the meaning of, because Hugh Grant is saying, as Oompa Loompa, that he's actually... he doesn't say I'm an absolute unit, but he says something like
I'm something of a whopper.
I'm a whopper. That's it.
A whopper,
I'm a whopper.
A bit of a whopper.
And then he says, my name is Lofty, to which Timothy Chalamet responds, sorry. And I don't know, is the sorry
your name,
because
is that a knock about his name is silly? Because your name is Wonka.
Right.
Wonka.
Wonky.
Wonky. Wonky.
Oh boy, I miss talking about movies. Wow, I'm not even sure Wonky's anything, but it really sit me.
It made me feel good. Wonky makes me feel good.
We're feeling good over here. This is good, Wonky. That's good.
Do you guys? Every time you Google Timothy Chalamet,
yeah?
Just usually to see some pictures.
Yeah, just to remind myself that he's there.
It was there. Do you always type in Timothy and then see the Google autocorrect it to Timothy with two E's and you remember like, fuck, that's good. God damn.
Yeah.
You would think in your head, like, I'm going to Google Timothy Chalamet. Wouldn't it be funny if it was L-E-E with an exclamation point over or a little mark over one of the letters? That would be a fun way to spell Timothy. And it is. He gives you exactly what you need every
fucking
time.
Why do you think Timothy, in his wisdom, has decided to follow in the footsteps of Gene Wilder with, judging from the trailer, seems to be, I'm trying to think of how to, a performance that is almost entirely devoid of charm or spark.
Now
or
that's
anything.
Interesting.
Well, he hasn't learned how to do it yet. Wonka.
Right. Be compelling on screen.
Yeah, Wonka has to learn. That's what if that's what the whole movie was about? We're seeing this stuff about chocolate, but constantly people are like, yeah, this chocolate's delicious. I don't care about you at all, though.
But
like, you're not
your
bringing
thing?
Anything
yeah, I get,
to this.
You wrote your name so big on here, I thought you would be something.
Something of a character. Now, this guy over here, this Hugh Grant guy, Lofty, I'm into him. Can you do more of his thing?
Let Lofty cook. Don't show me Wonka. Only Lofty. I think what Timothy
Wonka's
may have
barely in it. You probably see all the Wonka stuff in the trailer.
Yeah, that's all it is. Well, weird. I saw all of his stuff in the first 10 minutes of the movie. Yeah, that's it. He's gone. He died. He dies in the first 10 minutes. And it's
there's
about
a Wonka
Lofty becoming Wonka.
There's a Wonka spectrum. And Gene's right smack dab in the middle of it. He built this fucking spectrum around himself and perfected it and mastered it. And so Timothy walked up to the gene pool and looked at it and was like, okay, how can I put my mark on this? And then he looked at the footsteps leading away from the spectrum where Jonathan Deep took the banner and just took off running, and everyone was like, Johnny,
it's gonna snap.
We wanted to Johnny,
it's
hold on, Johnny, we need to tell you how to do the movie. Johnny, please, we need to tell you how to do the movie.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Too late. I'm doing Michael Jackson. Goodbye.
Okay.
All right.
That's interesting. Have you seen Gene's version? You haven't. Okay.
I don't
You're
watch
just going,
movies.
Okay.
I don't care for them.
So what? I think that maybe Timothy saw that and took a few steps back away from the Gene pool. Away.
I feel
from-
like Timothy saw Toucan Sam dressed up as Wonka on the themed box of Fruit Loops. It was like, there it is.
Yeah. That's it.
That's my thing. That's the
I
Wonka
brought in something of
model.
A vision board. Timothy, that's just a box of Fruit Loops. Yeah. I found the first image and kept it. I didn't have to go any further.
I won't accept this. I think he's going to crush it. I think this movie's going to be a fucking delight. I think that, you know, the Paddington gang have done it again. And I think it's going to be a delight that a lot of adults that you wouldn't expect come out of the woodwork to say, like, I'm a full-blown Wonka head.
Yeah, I'm a Wonka wonk.
I'm traveling the country following Wonka now. Oh, Justin's pulling something up here. Oh, yeah.
Can I say? Now, Justin, is it possible that this Fruit Loops
this
Wonka...
is, I've just shown my brothers, by the way, Wonka Fruit Loops, and they've got Toucan Sam, and, you know, every time somebody draws Toucan Sam, you gotta make a choice about the hands. Sometimes he's got fingers, sometimes he's got feathers. You always gotta make a choice. And then they've put him in a photorealistic Timothy Chalamet Wonka costume on shelves at Target now.
Why is the 12.3 ounce so large?
It's really big. It also says in a bright, bold banner, your milk turns berry-licious. What was it doing before when I put Fruit Loops in it?
Berry-trocious.
How would you describe the flavor?
It was berry-trocious before. We had to tweak it. We had to tweak it just a little bit. I want to talk about the moment in the trailer where somebody made the decision, one word at a time, to write out, learn how Willy becomes Wonka. And Willy is on screen there by itself. And I just really have to think about, if somebody walked up to Willy Wonka and just said, hey, Willy, it would take me out of the, it might actually take me
William.
Out of the theater. What's up, Bill? Bill Wonka. Look at this kid. Oh, Bill Wonka over here making some candy. Good for you, Bill.
I'm looking now at the list of movies just to want to make sure. There's a new book club. Little Mermaid, Spider-Verse. Okay, we're good on that. Anything else that we need to touch on that we like missed? Barbie and Oppenheimer. I mean, is there anything there?
There's nothing we can add there. Nothing we
Haunted
can add
Mansion?
There.
Haunted Mansion?
Nothing we can add there. Nothing to add there.
No, they did a new Expendables. Okay, I think we're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
They did make a, I did watch the new Saw where Saw becomes the hero. And I did want to mention that to everybody.
All right.
In case you've been wanting to see, they finally got a vigilante got Saw him. Movie.
Cool. Does he murder extrajudiciously or still does that?
I swear to God, the plot of the new Saw movie is that he has cancer and they try to rip him off, give him a fake cancer cure. And he's like, actually, psych, I'm Saw. So now you're all going to go in this room together.
Yeah.
And
he kills all of them. He kills them.
Well, spoilers.
So sort of a Joker hero.
Some of them pass their,
eat their own teeth with their teeth to find the key that,
Oh my God, guys. I'm so happy to be able to talk about these things again. I'm so happy that we got a good deal for all our hardworking performers. And thanks. I'm going to say specifically thanks to Anthony Rapp, because I think it's radical that Anthony Rapp's on the negotiating committee. That's fantastic. I wouldn't want to be across the table. I've met him twice. Hugely intimidating. Would not want to be across the table from Anthony and Fran together.
No,
are you kidding me? Franthony, that power couple? Get out of here. I'm also just glad I can finally pitch my Fast and the Furious reboot, where they're all sea creatures. It's pretty much shot for shot exactly the same, except now they're sea creatures. We can even use the dialogue from the original movies. We're just going to animate CGI like, oh, look at that cool gray white shark. Yeah, that's Vin Diesel. It'll be like realistic version like they did with Lion King, except Fast and the Furious, and they're all sea creatures. So,
have you seen Travis's wet Fast and Furious?
Yes, thank
you very
much.
It's his new elemental reboot.
I would have sworn on a stack of Bibles that that guy was building to a punchline, but I don't think
it's
there's
a real
one
thing
sight.
I want to know.
I kind of thought you'd have something.
It's just a movie that would do well in this economy.
How about a question?
Please.
Yes.
This is still an advice show.
Until they shut us down.
They can never shut us down. I have a neighbor in my apartment building who plays the piano in the middle of the night well past 2 a.m. The noise is not my problem. The music is actually really good. The problem is that the music they play keeps getting stuck in my head, and I don't know what the songs they're playing are called. I've never spoken to or even seen my downstairs neighbor in the 3 years I've lived here. I'm not even 100% sure which apartment is theirs. How do I solve these music puzzles? That's from Shazamless in Manhattan.
Why, there hasn't been anyone in that apartment for over 50 years.
I love that.
That's cool.
That's a haunted piano.
That would be scary.
Yeah, I'm scared over here.
I mean, not if it's good, right? They never talk about that. If you're like, yeah, there's a ghost and it keeps me up all night with its poetry, and it's awesome. It's really good poetry,
man. It could be Friedrich Chopin.
Yeah, could be.
Playing some new jams that you haven't even heard before, music world isn't ready for. If Friedrich is playing that after 2 in the morning, no thanks. I don't, that's not actually 100%. A good time. That's not a good time for loud music for me. 100%. Yeah. So I'm glad that you have framed this issue in this way. Because if I wrote an email to my favorite advice show, that was like some fucking clown and or ghost.
Yeah. Dear Joe Rogan, I need your help.
I need your help, Joseph.
I never thought it would happen to me.
Joseph Gordon-Rogan, I need your help. A ghost is playing
piano. I made myself too smart and virile on Blue Chew. And now.
Yeah. And now I'm up
and now
too
I develop priapism because I'm too biohacked. Please help me, Joe. Please help me find the gold, Joe. I buried the gold like you told me to, and now I can't find my dang gold, Joe. And my testicles are swelling up, what, from the Blue Chews? And
you never told me the last step, Joe. What's the final?
How do I make my scrotum big enough to hold my huge balls from this incredible?
Joe, I got activated charcoal everywhere, baby. It's terrible over here.
How do I kill my neighbor and get away with it, Joe?
Joe, please.
I was a
Joe. How do I make the ivermectin once, taste better?
How much Windex is too much?
I was originally going to suggest that you should go down and ask the person, like, hey, this is going to be weird, but like, I love the music you play. Here's the problem, though. I think it is actually fun for you to go to somebody and be like, you've always been on stage. Every moment that you think that you've been playing for yourself, you're playing for me. And every time you play from now on, please know. Although, you know what? I think I would probably want to know if I'm keeping somebody up at 2 a.m. with my piano music.
This
probably.
Is what.
But I'm a good person.
Yeah.
This is what confuses me, because if you're playing the piano at 2 o'clock in the morning in an apartment building, is the assumption not everyone can hear this?
I mean, probably, right? Yes. Probably, yes.
Like, there's no way you, and question asker, let me help you with the you don't know which one's theirs thing. If you're 301 and they're below you, they're 201, right? So you go down there and you knock on their door and you're like, I can hear your piano.
If you're hearing like 217, your building's got way bigger problems. You should probably move.
Yeah, sure.
It's all asbestos in there.
If you knock on their door and they're like, hey, I can hear your piano at 2 o'clock in the morning. And they're like, you can? That's wild.
Now, there's a type of piano guy that I feel like anyone who has ever like taken like classes or something where there are little piano booths at Huntington High, whenever I took piano so many times because you can't fail it. It's all music. And so they have these little booths with pianos set up next to each other. I feel like this is a very common lived experience for anybody who's ever been in a situation like that, where you're like, I wonder if I can learn Vanessa Carlton's 1,000 Miles. And so you just start tinkling like, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop, boop, boop. And then in the booth next to you, you hear, like fucking like, oh, let me show you. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you trying to play Vanessa Carlton's 1,000 Miles? There's a person who's like, you're welcome, everybody. At 2 a.m, like, hey, here's one that everyone loves. I know all of our apartments are linked together by one HVAC system through a series of convoluted spy pipes, but
this is what I'm saying. If you go down there and say, I love the music, they're most likely, the confidence this person has just from context clues, their response is going to be, yeah, I know you do, bud. Yeah.
You like it at 2 a.m.?
Yeah,
I know
bud.
You do. Better than sleep, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I'll let me charge you with my music.
Yeah. I don't think there's any interaction where this turns out to be, unless it's like a cool little old lady piano teacher can't sleep because of
the muse.
The muse.
Is that a short way of saying music?
No.
The muse. Yeah, bro.
The muse. I got the muse in me.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Let's go to the money zone. I don't care.
Got to earn Wonka tickets.
Yeah, sure. They're expensive. They're so expensive now.
Listen, I have two bags. One, I have a bag and a shelf. Hey, listen, let me start over.
Okay, yeah, no, please. Yeah, you got lost.
I got a bag and a shelf. Okay. One is for socks, the other's for socks, but it's seasonal, what? Right? So after the summer season, the summer socks go in the summer bag, winter socks go on the shelf. You know what all these socks have in common? I'm going to tell you. They're all Bombas, baby. They're all Bombas, toe to tip. It's all Bombas over here. You know why? Because they're the most comfortable socks I've ever worn. And for every pair I buy, someone in need is going to get a pair of Bombas. And that makes me feel fantastic. Probably better than it should, considering how little effort I put into it.
Here's my new movie pitch. Now that we're allowed to make movies again, guy comes to you.
Go ahead.
He's got a box. He opens the box. There's a red button. And he says, if you push that button, you'll get a pair of socks. But somewhere, someone in the world will also get a pair of socks.
That's cool.
And then the whole movie is just a guy trying to decide. It's called
Philosophical. If you press the button, you and someone else get socks. And if not, five people get socks.
Yeah. Or do you want to double it and give it to the next person?
Yes.
And that's not the only...
And can you lift this big, heavy barbell? I'll give you 20 bucks.
That's not the only gift you're going to be given with Bombas, because they also, you know, the holidays are just around the corner. And they got beautifully designed, ready-to-go gift boxes with high-quality basics.
Yeah.
And if your giftee doesn't love them, they're covered with a 100% happiness guarantee.
I would say if your giftee doesn't love them, you don't need that person in your life.
Cut them out.
They're poisonous.
Yeah.
They're honestly poisonous. I would return them before I'd return the socks. Go to bombas.com/mybrother. Use code mybrother for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/mybrother. And use code mybrother at checkout.
Hey, Griffin and Justin.
Yeah.
You guys ever used a website?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Sure. I'm using one right now. Sorry. Let me look at the tabs I have open. I'm using 400 right now.
Yeah. These things are everywhere these days. My nephew's got a website. He uses it to buy and sell Pokemon cards. Loves these things. Apparently, it's the future.
Wait, is that my son?
So he uses these to buy and sell Pokemon cards. He's made, like, he told me $150,000 with this website.
I don't think that's true. That would be huge for me.
And he's saving it all up. He said to move out when he turns 12.
What?
And yeah,
it's amazing.
He's already got his eye on a place. It's cute. He took me over there. Took me on a tour of it. It's pretty nice. And so I'm really looking forward to when he does. But until then, I'm just checking out his website that he built on Squarespace to buy and sell all of his Pokemon cards. And he said some of the Pokemon cards he stole from his dad's collection.
Okay, hold on. Is this the 6-year-old we're talking about or the 2-year-old we're talking about?
And so with Squarespace, it's an all-in-one platform where you can, like, sell your dad's stuff or, you know, sell pictures of your dad while he's sleeping. To earn money. So you can stand out with a beautiful website, engage with your audience, sell anything. Your products, anything. Content you create. Yeah, your dad's shoes, anything. Even your time.
What you just said is silly, that I have so many shoes that if a pair were taken from me under any circumstances, I wouldn't notice when I went to put them on to go to school the next day and they weren't there.
He even has the money. He says basically perverts spend so much money buying these old shoes that basically he buys replacement shoes half a size bigger every time. And just replaces them, and he's slowly driving his father insane.
That's actually good. I'm so glad you've cleared that up for me, because I thought I just had some sort of condition.
So you can create pro-level videos effortlessly. The Squarespace Video Studio app, yeah, that's in there. They got Fluid Engine, which is the next-generation website design system from Squarespace. Makes it easier to unlock unbreakable creativity. And they've even got member areas that can unlock a new revenue stream for you. So check all that out. It's totally worth your time. Get one of these websites I've been hearing about. Be like my cool, super young nephew. Go to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code mybrother to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. So simple, even a 2-year-old can use it.
No,
but a 40-year-old can't say it.
So excited to make a joke, was he couldn't pronounce the name of the place.
Have you ever wanted to know the sad lore behind Chuck E. Cheese's love of birthday parties?
Or, my Saturday mornings were reserved for cartoons?
Or, have you wanted to know how beloved virtual pet site Neopets fell into the hands of Scientologists?
Or, how a former Mattel employee managed to grow Sega into a video game powerhouse?
Join us, hosts Austin and Brenda, and learn all of these things and more at Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries, now on Maximum Fun.
I'm Yucky Jessica.
I'm Chuck Crudsworth.
And this is Terrible,
a podcast where we talk about things we hate that are awful.
Today we're discussing Wonderful, a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network.
Hosts Rachel and Griffin McElroy, a real-life married couple.
Yuck!
Discuss a wide range of topics. Music, video games, poetry, snacks.
But I hate all that stuff.
I know you do, Yucky Jessica.
It comes out every Wednesday, the worst day of the week, wherever you download your podcasts.
For our next topic, we're talking Fiona, the baby hippo from the Cincinnati Zoo.
I hate this little hippo.
Okay, here's another question. I work in the gift shop of the National Mustard Museum.
Hell yeah.
Oh my God.
We sell hundreds of different kinds of mustards from around the world. Multiple times a week, I have to deal with customers coming in and asking if we have any ketchup. As if they're the first person to think of that joke. I personally don't have anything against ketchup, but the mustard has a lot of anti-ketchup propaganda on display. How do I politely respond to these jokers who come in asking for ketchup?
I feel like there's two different pathways.
That's from Mustard Madness in Middleton.
You could have a button that when they ask, you push it, klaxon sound. The lights start going off, and maybe some mustard police come and take that person away.
I think there is a far more devastating version of this, where you have the button, but when you press it, it adds one to a big counter behind the desk that is not labeled, but like you walk up to the counter to buy your mustard, I guess, and it says like 14,916. You don't think anything about it. And you're like, so do you have any ketchup? Click next number. I've stumbled through that so long that I forgot what the number was that I said, but that would be
14,917.
If that happened to me, and I was the one who did that ketchup thing, and then they pressed a button that showed me how unoriginal, what a fucking hack I was. I would overpay for the mustard by a factor of two. And I would not speak for the rest of the encounter.
Especially if they did that, press the button, number ticks up, and then they just look, let it land, and then say, and that's just today.
Yeah.
Oh!
There's so many good versions of this. Where you press the button when they make the ketchup joke, and then just on the ticker, it just adds 50 cents. It adds 50 cents to your mustard total.
Oh,
and says, like, ketchup joke surcharge. For making me listen to your ketchup joke.
What if they were like, do you guys sell ketchup? And you looked around really like furtively and you're like, come with me. And you let him into a back room and the whole time just seeing locking multiple locks on everything until you bring him to a place and you like lift up a hidden compartment and you pull out a tiny bottle, like one of those like tiny glass bottles of ketchup you get like at room service. And you're like, $1,000.
It's $1,000 for this ketchup.
$1,000.
Have you ever had?
You didn't get it from me.
Have you ever had mustard ketchup? Have you ever even?
Oh, you want to go?
Can your mind even consider mustard ketchup?
You want to go under the wing of illegal mustards, of illegal and forbidden mustards?
Now, sir, we would never. We're gonna come with me. Slip me a 20. Come on,
quickly.
You didn't get it here. Ketchup. You have to eat it all in the room. Don't leave the room with it. You have to eat it all here.
Please, you're falling behind. You must catch up.
Here's a crowbar. Here's a crowbar and a flashlight. Come with me.
Hey, guys, I'm trying to hang with you here, but I'm over here on the National Mustard Museum webpage, and I'm just having the time of my life.
Yep, time to go. I'm a National Mustard Museum.
Look, you don't have to. Listen, I'll just share it with you so you can enjoy. This
okay,
is
not
about,
the biggest building.
This is about their educational program, Poop on You.
Ah, yes. You dirty dogs. Oh, my God, yes. Is this the owner of the Mustard Museum who appears twice on the
page? There's this man. If you haven't seen the page, there is a man who's on every page of this website seven times just appearing about mustard. He seems iconic, but I don't know where. Okay, his name is Barry, and he's got to love mustard, I guess.
He probably likes mustard.
I hope he likes mustard, man.
He's got a shirt that says Squeeze the Day, Carpe Dijon on it. That's fucking very good, my man.
It's very good. A lot of great mustard humor.
With more than 6,090 mustards from all 50 states and more than 70 countries, get out of town.
I mean, that ain't nothing.
It's a lot, Justin.
That ain't nothing. It's a lot of mustard.
That's a lot of mustard.
We got to get here, guys.
Yeah.
Guys, what, like, why are we not, why, we got to get there. We got to get to the mustard.
We don't
museum.
Do enough cool shit. I think
we don't
it's
do
problem.
Any fun anymore. We just do shows.
Yeah.
Like, let's go to the Mustard Museum.
Like, I used to do cool things, and then I got kids, and I don't go to Mustard Museums anymore. They don't tell you this when you're 40, but you come on the, you hit the other side of 40, and you look back at all the Mustard Museums you could have been going to. Heartbreaking.
We had my son's 6th birthday party in a public park. A random old lady, around 75, walked up and made small talk as we set up a table full of snacks for our guest. She was well-dressed, friendly, and seemed to be alone for a walk. An hour later, in the middle of the party, she came back and started to grab handfuls of the food we set up for the guests. Brothers, how do I respond when a kindly, elderly stranger just walks up and starts taking food from my kid's birthday party? That's from Grab and Go in San Diego.
That's cool.
Hey, yeah, listen, I'm going to just say this, my friend, because this is like my gut reaction here. I think you got played, mm-hmm. and you're going to have to just take the L.
Yeah, you make small talk lady, with her.
Yeah, this lady walk up to you and she's like, a stranger's just a friend you haven't met yet. What's up? I'm Gloria. Hope you have a hell of a good day.
Yeah.
And then she rolls back up an hour later. It's like, it's fucking me, Gloria. You know me.
Hey, bud, yeah. Long time no see.
Oh, shit. Hey, are these pigs in a blanket?
Yeah, man. I think she nailed it. She made it work. She did her thing. And listen, unless this is like... We're running low on snacks, but even then she waited an hour.
She waited an
she
hour.
She gave your guests plenty of time.
There's an alternate reality version of this question, which is I'm at a park and there's people having a party and I really want to eat their pigs in a blanket.
Yeah.
How can I do it? This lady has just followed the exact playbook we would have given someone else.
Give it
we
an
go
hour.
Up to them, small talk, leave, no ulterior motive. Oops, I'm hungry. Oh, my friend Daniel's over there with pigs in a blanket.
Right.
Here I come. Are those Cool Ranch Doritos?
This
wow, what a spread.
This Thank reminds you. Me. So recently, BB was playing in like first grade soccer, right? And it ended and they had a pizza party at the park where they normally practice. And the coach had like written something about like, oh, each kid, I noticed this and you were doing great. And in the middle of this, this like, I would guess 8-year-old boy walks up. And just like, while the coach is like reading off the notes he's written, the boy's just like, hey, I'm not a part of this, but is it okay if I get some pizza and a drink? And all the adults won over by this young gentleman's directness and honesty were like, yeah, man, go for it. There's plenty. So he grabs the pizza and stands there and proceeds to watch the rest of this presentation. So then, fast forward about 45 minutes, it's time to go. You know, it's getting dark. We turn to leave. I look over. Some of the kids have started like playing around a little bit of soccer. And one of the little girls was like playing goalie. And out of nowhere, ball just flies right into the side of her head, knocks her off her feet. I look over. It's the boy. The boy is just
so fueled
dusted,
by pizza.
Yeah, dusted a child clean off her feet. And he is standing there with a facial expression beyond his years. The comprehension he has just gotten of like, oh, I see. Yeah, you know what? I blew it. I'm going to go. This one's on me. The girl was fine. She was fine. I have been thinking about it for about a month
That's a core memory. I don't know what island that builds in that boy's mind to form like a very important personality trait of his. He will never ask for food from anyone in public ever. Like, he'll never do that. He'll never touch a sock. Maybe never touch a ball again.
Yes.
It's entirely possible. It's anti-sports island because of the murder I almost committed.
I just like seeing his facial expression rate of like, I should have left after the pizza.
I pushed my luck with the pizza. I shot the can indoors.
Kids are so different. If I had gotten up the fortitude to say, let me hit that pizza real quick.
Yeah.
As soon as I had the slice in my hand, it would be full on. Full tilt boogie sprint away from that social situation. Never see me again.
Yeah.
That kid's just going to ruminate in the perfect crime.
Let's see how. Hey, can I also have your car? How far can I take this? Can I also.
What are your limits?
Can I kill your daughter? Can I make her forget math?
I, on paper, like the idea of every kid's birthday party should have a rando 75-year-old at it. To share, to impart some sort of wisdom or context at the very least. But I don't think that that is going to hold the attention of my children at all. Like, at all. I think it's good and enriching for the most part. But unless that 75-year-old has some really like deep thoughts about like the new Pokemon DLC, I don't think that it's going to be a highlight of the party.
Well, Griffin, I don't mean to critique your parenting. I think you're doing a great job overall, but that sounds like you are maybe falling behind in teaching your children an important lesson, which is every elderly stranger is potentially a time traveler from the future come back to check on them, right? That could be like,
true.
That could be their daughter, you know, from like the year 3000 or whatever, not daughter, but great-great-granddaughter. Come back to be like, I want to see my great-great-grandmother when she was young, right? Like, so it could be anyone. Yeah. Anyone could be, but also they could be a weird sex pervert. So it's one of those two every time.
Mm.
Every time. Whenever a random old person compliments me or my children, I give them a second look to be like, is that me? Is that old me?
Okay.
You know what I mean?
You check on, that's something you check on.
Well, I don't go deep on the check, Justin, but I give it a second glance. Is that old me?
Yeah.
Right? I want to know.
Now, see, more commonly, my bigger fear, and much more frequent, is it is an old person. I didn't do a good job paying attention to old people when I was a kid.
Yeah, none of us did.
I'm realizing this now, because these people will roll up on me. And they will treat me like we are long lost friends. And I did not clock them. If you have not gotten with me after like, let's call it 35.
Yes.
I probably didn't clock you. I am sorry. You will have a look where I just want to say like, church guy?
Yeah. Church guy is always the way I
you're
go
a church
to.
Guy from olden times? So you're like an olden times church
Justin,
guy?
Justin, what
is
you're
that
proposing
right?
to our question askers is that maybe like Gloria and the 6-year-old son are old friends. And like you don't know who it is, but your son's going to see Gloria and be like, Gloria! You were one of my NICU nurses. What's up, bud?
No, Justin is more speaking to the more common sort of thing of just like not paying attention to old people when you're when you're young.
When you're a child and they're like, they know you, right? Because
you were cool.
Why wouldn't you pay attention to me as a kid? You know what I mean? A big ball of energy and fun, like just like lift everybody's spirits, like so energizing.
Funny.
Yeah.
Funny.
Doing
but
like
then it's
a
just
child
like,
Don Rickles, they called
doing
them.
Cool
they
tricks.
They kept But then you talk to them and they're like still doing the church thing.
Oh.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah. So they didn't grow out of it like you did.
It's like you go back to high school and someone's still there.
Yeah.
It's
gross.
Okay.
Yeah.
Little embarrassing.
And they're like,
for you.
They're like, I laid hands on you with the rest of the Bible study class to heal your eyesight.
We've and been praying for you.
We did all the praying for you, so you should know me.
I so appreciate the prayers for sure. Any good vibes, I'll take them. I don't know you.
Yeah.
I don't know you.
Yes.
I want a munch
squad.
I want to munch
squad.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast profiling the latest and greatest brand eating. We have disabled our videos, so I can't show you guys this product right now, but I will send you a picture of it so you can enjoy that for yourself. I will say that this is a product that I have already sampled.
Whoa.
So I'll be giving you my thoughts because Baskin-Robbins is giving Thanksgiving sides main dish energy with a new flavor of the month.
Okay.
This November, the brand is bringing ice cream to the Turkey Day table, partnering with brand fans Hannah Godwin and Dylan Barber to host the ultimate Friendsgiving. Starting November 1st, Baskin-Robbins.
Wait, hold on. Should I know who those people are?
You may by the end of it, but you will not. Starting November 1st, Baskin-Robbins is bringing together everything you love about your favorite sides in its new flavor of the month, Turkey Day Fixins. Perfectly paired with the return of the show-stopping turkey cake. This is presumably your show was about normal food you'd want to eat. And then someone brought out a turkey shaped ice cream cake and it did, in fact, stop this whole show. These limited time offerings are sure to make you the talk of the table. That I can vouch for. All month long, sink your spoon into side dish bliss with Turkey Day Fixins, a surprising combination of sweet potato and autumn spice ice creams mixed with honey cornbread pieces and swirls of Ocean Spray cranberry sauce.
I mean, yeah, this looks fucking great.
Yeah.
Where did you share this image, Justin? I cannot see it.
Griffin just went rogue.
Oh. I went rogue and looked at it. Sorry, Juice, when you were describing all these things, I was like, what could this possibly look like? An orange and white striped sphere with chunks of fixins and beautiful, playful ribbons of cranberry drizzlings all
and
over
then what
it.
Was
what could
it,
that
Griff?
Possibly be? It's that. It's exactly that.
Wow.
And it looks really, really fucking good.
Does it?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is it's so good.
Yeah, sorry, guys. Sorry, guys, but smash. On this
you're smashing it.
On this one, that's going to be
gonna have,
a smash.
Wait, you're going to fuck that ice cream?
I'm going to fuck
Turkey
it up.
Day Fixins. This, okay. Whether you want to, this is their, this, of course, they have to, I like press releases that get defensive.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Wait. Now, hold on. Before you say anything. Whether you want to save your family from your suspicious casseroles or bring main dish energy to Friendsgiving, that's kind of a playoff of big dick energy. And they've put it here in the Baskin-Robbins press release about their turkey ice cream.
Hey, how big is your ice cream hog?
You want to save your family for your suspicious casseroles or bring main dish energy to Friendsgiving? This scoop will add something interesting and delicious to your traditions. Turkey Day Fixins melds together all your favorite sweet and savory sides. And then it says again, in case you thought they were joking, sweet potatoes, cornbread, and cranberry sauce. Move over, been there, done that desserts, and make way for the new unofficial dessert of Thanksgiving.
Okay, so what they're proposing, because this was going to be my next question about deployment of this, right? This would be you finished dinner. And you're like, okay, dessert time. And they're like, amazing. Right. I'm thinking pumpkin pie. I'm thinking some kind of roll.
Do you mean the already official dessert of Thanksgiving?
And they're like, what did you make? And you're like, I didn't make anything, Debbie. I bought some Baskin-Robbins ice cream.
Yes.
It's like it's Thanksgiving, but it's ice cream.
We're going to do Thanksgiving again. It's an ice cream. Okay, here's what we're going to do. This is called Thanksgiving Frozen Empire.
Yes.
And it's just like the Thanksgiving you know.
Yeah.
But it's cold. We made it very cold.
Oh.
I can't believe Griffin didn't laugh at that. I'm sick.
You know what? Do you know what?
I'm sick that you didn't laugh at that. I was so fucking excited. I'm sick that you didn't laugh about that.
I'm sick that you all are approaching this. I feel like this segment is going to age so poorly. I feel like this is like it's the you know, early 1900s at Bim Bam, and we're like, did you hear about this guy? And he made stinky old bread, and when you eat it, it makes you healthy. Crazy. Guys, check the name. It even sounds like Penis Illin. Isn't that the fucking
Now, hold on. I would have said that, Griffin, and I would have stood by it.
I know, that's why I'm saying these things. I know us so well.
But I would have stood by it. I would not have felt guilt about it.
I gotta tell you, Trav, this is the longest apology I've ever heard for not laughing about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it is weird.
You have characterized this as yucky turkey ice cream. Listen, I worked at TCBY. My first job.
He is a professional.
I was a flavorsmith in that grand tradition, and I was trying to find it. I was trying to find, surely if I mix cinnamon swirl with the cheesecake bites and put it in a little milkshake. I was experimenting. I was out there on the fucking cutting edge. This is the next step.
I'm granting you that. What I'm talking about is a question of context, okay? So here's the quote. Let me give you the quote. We continue to push the boundaries of flavor innovation at Baskin-Robbins.
Yes.
And wanted to bring a unique scoop to the table that deliciously encapsulates all the sweet and savory flavors from your favorite Thanksgiving sides. Along with the return of our iconic turkey cake, these offerings are a delicious and innovative take on holiday favorites. What I'm asking is about context. I'm asking, do you eat a regular Thanksgiving meal and then they bring out a frozen
yes,
ice cream
this is my
turkey
question as
and
well.
Then all the ice creams of the sides you just ate? Or is it, hey, it's November 3rd, but I can't wait for a sneak preview of Thanksgiving food. Can I get that in an ice cream to go?
Here's what they should have done. The headline of this should have been, whether you're a lazy uncle or the lazy friend, worry not. You can just buy this and act like you put some effort into it on Turkey Day.
It is not about the effort. I cannot believe this episode began with a full-throated, exuberant celebration of Willy Wonka and ends with just a vehement opposal to his, what would be his vision for Thanksgiving. If you had Thanksgiving with Willy Wonka, he would be like, what's up, everybody? I got something new for you that's going to really blow your load. And then he would serve up this fucking
basket. It'll blow your dick right off.
It'll blow your dick clean off your body. Oompa what now? That's right. Scorp. And he would throw it down and it would look like this, like a child's dream. And it would taste like Thanksgiving. And we would all be like, wow, I had Thanksgiving in a whole new way. They did Thanksgiving.
What you're proposing, Griffin.
Yeah.
Is that the ice cream turkey cake and the Turkey Day Fixins ice cream replace the meal?
I wouldn't.
I have to know if that's what you're suggesting, Griffin.
I'm saying if you rolled up to Willy Wonka's Clockwork Kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And sat down at his table to eat with him and his friends.
Oompa Loompas.
There would be no bird served at the table save for the frozen ice cream cake bird. And this incredible omni-colored sphere.
This fucking Peter Pan hook food.
Yeah.
This
Peter Pan hook food. This is
this
the
bangerang dessert.
This is the most beautiful scoop of food I've ever seen in my whole life, guys.
Now let's meet the, we don't have Wonka on this deal. We got our influencers. Baskin Robbins partnered with reality TV stars and brand fans Hannah Godwin and Dylan Barber to host their first Friendsgiving as newlyweds.
Oh, with congratulations.
With Turkey Day fixins and the turkey cake as the ultimate Friendsgiving staples, this duo will be serving up an unforgettable feast to people who will soon decry them as maniacs. Dylan and I are on the same page when it comes to Thanksgiving food. The sides are the best part.
So we've ruined them.
Turkey Day fixins has all the flavors we look forward to, smushed all the fuck, and then made cold as hell. We're excited to host our first Friendsgiving.
And our last.
And our last before we're decried as maniacs by our friends. A new tradition, so you know, and enjoy quality time with our friends over some extra special desserts. Nothing gathers people around the table quite like the iconic turkey cake.
Mm.
And a dessert that will make anyone do a double take. It's a show-stopping non-traditional tradition.
Cool. That doesn't mean anything.
Baskin-Robbins' take on a roasted turkey is made to look like it's fresh out of the oven as it's filled with any... Imagine that the employee is like in the store. They've shown you like it's an ice cream shaped like an ice cream cake shaped like a turkey. And then they want to describe it. See, no, you don't get it. It's made to look like it's fresh out of the oven, but it's filled with any flavor of delicious ice cream you like, decorated with sugar cone legs and covered in caramel praline glaze. Pre-order it ahead of time and relax, knowing this Thanksgiving you'll have a turkey day full of yay. And if you don't mind, I want to watch you make it.
And let me just throw this out there. Could you get the turkey cake filled with Turkey Day Fixins ice cream?
But no, because I want to see
that's
it.
That's good, Trav.
No, it's not because I want to see it. I want to see
it.
That.
I made it so good, Griffin.
We are talking, this turkey cake is clearly pop art. The fucking all-in-one Thanksgiving fixins, Turkey Day fixins scoop is beautiful, abstract. It's a Jackson Pollock of incredible autumnal flavor. I want to see that. I don't want to hide it inside of, I'm sorry, a pretty garish representation of a dead bird.
Sorry. Hey, y'all, thanks so much for listening to our program. We hope you've enjoyed yourselves. I certainly have fun.
Can I make a pretty big announcement?
Please do,
yeah,
yes.
Trav, please.
I have been working for the last year to put together an event that is going to be happening in May of 2024. It is called Adventure Quest. You can find all the details at the adventure.quest. It's a weekend-long immersive RPG experience at Ravenwood Castle in Hocking Hills, Ohio. We're going to have some really fun guests there, including Ify Nwadwe, Christina Ariel, Paul Foxcroft, and Sandeep Parikh, and more to come. We're going to be playing games, having fun. It's going to be super fun. I can't stress enough the fun. Go to theadventure.quest for all the details. Tickets are going to be on sale in December.
Okay, I'm in. I was trying to get tickets.
They're not up yet. No, they're not on sale till December. Also, Candle Nights.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing a virtual Candle Nights event, again, benefiting Harmony House. It's our pre-taped spectacular featuring segments from the family and special guests. It's going to be airing December 16th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Tickets are only $5 with the options to give more. Once again, that goes to Harmony House, so please consider giving more. We've got an event-exclusive poster also benefiting Harmony House, designed by Zach Sterling. And you can get your tickets now at bit.ly/candlenights2023.
Thank you to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. I like this song a lot. And when I play it, it fills me up. It is the only other thing that makes me feel joy other than my children and the Wonka trailer. So thank you so much, Montaigne.
That's going to do it for us for this week. And I think we already know what this sound bath is going to be. Come on. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Wonka.
This has been...
Wonk your dad square on the wonk.
Pass. No, thank you.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.